big sound in a small town, far away from the big city lights, making music every night. Good music with all our friends. Tell everybody, tell your mama and them. We're going out and we're getting down. A big sound in a small town. A big sound in a small town. A big sound in a small town. A big sound in a small town.
I'm a songwriter out of Fort Mill, South Carolina. Originally was born in New York, but I'm really a Floridian. Moved when I was a youngster. My family moved to South Florida. I grew up there, went to college there, and then moved up to the Carolinas in the early 90s in a closet songwriter since, I would say, I was 20 years old. Probably wrote even before then.
Right.
Picked the guitar up at the age of 20.
Okay.
And writing ever since.
So you start doing that in college, basically?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that happens a lot. You know, that,
yeah,
that is a...
The seeker
age. It is. You know, it really is. A lot of people do that. How far South Florida?
I grew up in Port St. Lucie.
Yeah,
where the
yeah.
Mets are now,
sure.
But it was so small, there wasn't even a high school there when I grew
really?
Up. We had to go to the next town.
That was when Florida was fun.
Florida was a bit raw.
Florida is totally different these days.
It's very different.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You remember even the first song you ever wrote?
I think I do. The one that I remember, it was called, I can remember foolishly, it was called Macon County Dreams, and it was a story song
right.
About a guy moved from, a couple who moved from a small town called Kathleen, Georgia. I looked at it on the map,
right,
and I said, well, what they did was they got married and they moved to the big city of Macon.
Yeah.
And but it didn't work out, and so she went back to Kathleen and he stuck. So that was the
sure
I had the story. And then the funny part was Macon isn't in Macon County.
This is true, yes.
Geographically, it's incorrect.
That's true. But you know, most people aren't aware of that. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's
a forgivable sin today because you I take so much poetic license with my makeup talents, makeup
sure.
people. You know, it's a lot of fiction.
Yeah, I mean, that is a lot of writing.
Pretty funny, though.
Yeah, that's really funny.
I don't know that was literally my first. It's probably the first one that I would claim as a song. It had an A part and a B part. It even had a bridge. So
oh, that's good.
Maybe it was the first one.
Do you do songs from early in your writing these days?
Not many.
Yeah.
I find them very different than what I do.
Yeah,
now.
Sure. I mean, I think that's
We grow and change. I know I have.
Sure.
I changed the way I write.
Well, I mean, it's also... With writing, you kind of have to live it a little bit before you can write about it, too.
Right.
I mean, and things do change
right.
in your life. Yeah,
you know. A lot has changed
yeah.
since I began. I mean, I wasn't married. I got married. I'm divorced. I've been in a
sure.
relationship. After that ended, I'm in a new relationship.
Yeah.
So it's almost like looking at things from different perspectives, the
and
same things.
And it's great for... songwriting.
It absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
I mean.
Some of those songs that I do play some older stuff, like when I was newly married.
Right.
And no, that's 20.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's not like it's not like I don't go back in the catalog. I do. But some of them, I think, I wrote with a very linear idea of what telling a story.
Right.
And I had the story in my head. And now I very much write like I get a glimpse of a character, I hear a line. Listen to the waves, darling.
Yeah.
Listen to the way it goes. And then I would spend the rest of the weekend figuring out who would say such a thing and under what.
Right.
Like, what's the... I kind of say it's like looking through a dirty window. And I take a rag.
Try to clear it up.
And I never get it completely clear. I'm not making a photograph. I'm writing an artful
sure.
vignette about
right.
that. I tell some of it. And leave enough for their listener.
For imagination.
For mine and yours, hopefully
yeah.
yours too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, so I guess when you started out, it was basically inspiration, and now you've moved to the craft of it too as you get older. I mean, I think if
so.
You stay with it long and have very much success, you have to learn the craft at some point.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people do not want to do, or people leave it because... There is a craft to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it still has to have some inspiration, but
right.
it's as much craft, or maybe even more craft than it is inspiration.
That Picasso quote speaks
to me. Yeah, that's a good
so
one.
Much.
Yeah.
The one idea that you know, inspiration
go ahead,
is real.
Go ahead. Repeat it here for the
oh,
listeners.
Sure. Yeah. So as far as I have heard, Picasso said inspiration is real, but it must catch you working.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And so if you're at the workbench tinkering on your craft.
Right.
And I'll just be strumming a phrase, I'll strum a chord progression, and I hear a melody, and I don't have words in my head. I just go sing what I call idiot lyrics.
Yeah.
I sing sounds, and sometimes the sound is the genesis of the song.
Right.
Who just said that? Like, yeah. Listen to the waves, darling. Listen
right.
to the way it goes. Under what circumstances would a person say that to another person, or is he talking to himself? And that is the process.
You're one of the few... songwriters that I've heard. So I used to play with a guy who always wrote his melodies first, you know, and had the whole thing, and then he would hum or sing along with it till he found words that would match up, which has always seemed awkward to me.
Yeah.
But then I've been a writer first most of my life, so it's a little easier for me to write it and then add the music to it.
I think it's like, you know, the way people at the potter's wheel slap clay on and then shave clay off.
Yeah.
To me, it feels like it's that tinkering process that is, it gets built as it goes and as it starts and takes you, it's cool like this, it's not like that. And
Are you a regional writer, or do you write for just total life, you know, overall?
I love to just dive into characters. I work in the mental health and addictions field, so a lot of, like, down and out folks, I drive by some angle. What that guy with one leg pushing a shower, what's his deal?
Right.
And then that guy will just stay in my head all weekend.
Right.
And I'll just, I'll have to. It's just an empathic response to, wonder what his deal is. Wonder what your deal is.
Yeah, you know? Gotcha.
I think we, probably as artists, we all do that.
Plus, I'm sure you have people in your line of work that you can take a lot of stuff from. You know, that's
Verify your school run through the PA system.
Will you
guitars?
Yeah, we run through the PA. We got everything.
Hey, Lauren.
That
was a total. did you start playing guitar at 20? I mean,
guitar at 20.
Have you worked yourself hard, or is that just a writing tool for you?
It probably is more writing tool. Yeah. I was writing stories and poems in my teens, and I was a blues. I wanted to be a blues man.
I spent my life as one, as you can see. So,
I picked up the guitar initially as a function of trying to find. What if that's the medium that writing will blossom out? And I would say it did. I still write stories. I still write poetry, vignettes, little things. But song seems to be the bite-sized nugget that makes sense. And there's lots of. You know, a 3-minute song will never tell the whole story of anything. So there's lots of air and mystery, which I love more now than I used to. I want to tell a story. Right. Now I want to explore a space.
Right. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is, you think that it's easy to write a song, but you have to get it done in, you know, 4 lines and a chorus, maybe a bridge. And that's kind of hard to tell a good story. In that frame.
Yeah. So I always say it's not an Ansel Adams landscape photograph. It's an emotional soil sample of that place.
Yeah, you know, that's good.
It's a deep dive into a small place.
I like that.
If it's vivid, it would make you wonder what's around that place. But you by no means are writing that whole landscape.
Can't.
You know, I've never tried to.
Yeah, you can't. Not big. Not in. That's why you're a songwriter, not a novelist. I mean, and to find the words that make that work too is, you know, you got to be part wordsmith too, which is.
You said in two couplets.
Yeah.
And
you have to be able to paint some type of picture for someone to get. That's pretty cool. So how often do you play? You have a band, right?
I do. We hardly ever play these days. COVID, so not a big chunk. We had two to three steady gigs a month.
Right.
But those are, one was a 17-year experience that I had at one coffee shop. I played every fourth Saturday with my band. 17 years.
That's great.
Yeah. And
it's a house job, basically.
I loved it. You know, I really kind of grew up there as a songwriter. I mean, all three of my full length albums came out and had during that time.
Yeah.
And they would, you know, they would put CDs of mine at the next to the cash register, and I'd come in, do a gig, and they'd hand me an envelope and say, "We sold 4."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the.
I just felt loved there.
That's the Scott Miller story, if you know who Scott is.
I do. Yeah.
Scott, you know, Scott's done the podcast, but you know, his thing was, yes, damn it, Scott's here again. You know,
That's right.
So being in one place does that helps you in a lot of ways. It helps bring people to your music.
Right.
And
and logging hours on the craft.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
I
because
agree.
Because the craft of performing,
sure,
like you pointed out,
yeah,
earlier, that is separate from the craft of
performing. Oh, yeah, it's
a good
totally.
And a struggling performer.
Sure. I know tons of good writers that,
yeah,
that I would tell you, and I know a ton of performers that I would tell you, they need to find them better songs, you know.
I'm with you.
Or don't be a songwriter, you know, get someone, find you a songwriter.
They're very rare, like Richard Thompson's of the world, that are flashy, amazing guitar players, but also amazing.
Sure.
Jason Isbell's another one.
Yeah, Jason Isbell,
But those people are rare stars.
They are rare.
Most of us are
And that is why they're stars. I mean, make no doubt about it.
Yeah.
They're complete package. And, you know, it's that's rare.
Yeah.
I mean, for all of those, you get a Towns Van Zandt who could barely play a guitar,
right,
you know?
Right. Barely stand up.
Yeah, barely stand up, barely play a guitar.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's there's a lot of latitude, though, in songwriters. And you know, it is there's so many forms of music that and one of the things I have learned is no matter how bad you think a band is or a songwriter, somewhere there's somebody going, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You know? And I found that a lot of that between, you know, with doing these podcasts, some of them that I would think, I can't judge them anymore, but, you know, some of them that I would think, man, this is great.
Yeah.
Or this is horrible. Nobody will listen to it. And it'll jump. You know, they'll jump in listeners, and somebody will send me a text. Man, I need to know that person. And it's like, okay. You know? So it varies, but it's a good craft.
It's a wide playing field, I think. And I grew up playing a lot of sports. I still play disc golf and senior softball.
Sure.
Pretty competitively.
I like to play disc golf, yeah.
And those things, you know, there's a clear, you made the putt, you did.
Yeah.
You know, you had the better round, I did.
Sure.
And songwriting is about as opposite of that as it can
true
be. There's a thousand different flavors of a good song.
Yeah, there is. There is.
There's a thousand different ways to play a guitar.
There is.
I love, you know, that's part of, I think that inclusiveness and that lack of rules fit my rebellious kind of
that's good
nature.
Yeah. And, you know, that there again, too, there is a, as personalities go, songwriters are as varied as they come.
Yeah.
You'll see somebody, and you'll think, there's no way that guy could have written those songs,
right,
you know? And then you'll see other people think, yeah, he's a songwriter. He's not a songwriter.
But so people used to ask me, are you, you know, I'd see me carry a guitar, are you a musician? And I would sometimes say, no, I'm a songwriter.
Yeah, I
don't pretend to be a fancy guitar player.
I mean, I still, when people ask me, I would tell you that, I'm more of a writer than I am than a player, you know.
I would fall on that side of the continuum.
Sure, I mean, so you want to talk about, you've won some awards for your songs.
In this area.
Yeah.
In North Carolina Songwriters Cooperative, was almost 20 years ago, 2004. Second album was just coming out. I was really hitting a stride as a writer, and I felt like, hey, these characters get real vivid.
Right.
And it wasn't, I certainly wasn't raised to be arrogant, but I had this moment where I was like, the 10 finalists had played, and I might have been 7
sure
or 8, a couple. So I'd heard all but a couple, and then I played mine, and like, my guitar player was with me, I was like, I think we just won that.
Yeah.
And I felt that in my bones.
Well, in my experience, so Kerbal Songwriters Folk Festival, they brought me in as one of their new folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was probably the best songwriter in the world. Then I get there and I get my eyes open.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, you need to go home and practice. I mean, they flew me out there, and I get up there, and in my opinion, I'm the worst songwriter there. A guy was around in a camp, just around a campfire, had this song, and it was She's in Love with the Boy, which went on to be Trisha Yearwood's. But he was just a guy by a fire, you know, and it's like, man, you know, I need to go home and work this craft a lot harder.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes you get those.
It's like baseball, though. You know, I would say what I do is probably single or double A baseball.
Yeah.
And then I watch the pros on TV.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty much where I'm at these days. Yeah.
I can turn a phrase and I can say there's songs that I really love and I think that's a good song. I can feel it in my bones. And other times I go, I don't even know if I like that.
Well, and sometimes I've been terrible about songs I thought that was really great that turned out to be. I can't pick the songs of mine that I think people, I'll be surprised. Somebody will just really love a song that it was kind of just a, you know, not one of my favorites. That happens.
I have a song that I handed in a contest that I just wasn't even going to put on a record. And somebody said, you got to put on a record. That's the quintessential folk song.
I had a throwaway song that was recorded by four different people, and I hated it. I still hate that song, you know? So it's kind of weird how that works.
Yeah, you know? It is.
But you just take it wherever you are.
You're just so close to it, you can't. It's true. Just like editing. You're too close to it, you can't edit.
Yes, I do.
You got to get some distance.
Well, edit is everything in songwriting, too. I mean, that's another thing that people do not put enough time in is you have to edit. You know, that's something in a craft that people miss.
Right.
What else we need to know, Rick?
It's not
sounds good. Thank you for coming and doing this. Yes, sir.
In this time.